Hey, we want to welcome everybody on our online campus. Glad you're joining us today. It's going to be a great day. Everybody here, good to see everybody. Happy weekend after Easter. We are kicking off a series here at Cowboy Junction about marriage, and I don't want this to intimidate anybody. Maybe you're good at marriage, maybe you're bad at marriage, maybe you've never tried marriage before. I'm just glad you're here. You're going to find that this is about marriage, but you're going to find this has so much to do with us as individuals before we become couples. And so wherever you're at in this journey, maybe you didn't even know this, what the series is about. Surprise! And it's going to be a great series. We're going to stay in about 5 weeks. We're going to have some guests come in. Heather's going to take one of the series messages and preach, and we're going to do one of them, but we're going to tag team up here. It's going to be great. And for the next several weeks, I encourage you to come back, but invite folks. If you need some flyers to hand out, to just kind of give your friends a little handout cards, by all means, start at the desk, and they would love to give you whatever you need. Before we get started today, guys, if you're a guy in this room, can you give me a grunt on three? One, two, three. Look at y'all. That's so good. Let's do something fun. You ready? Ladies, give me a grunt. Oh, y'all are so tough. Man, just chill bumps. Yeah. Okay, guys, one more time. One, two, three. Oh, good job. That's all I'm getting today. You did great. Listen, we're going on a men's retreat to Ute Trail, Colorado. It's just south of Gunnison, Colorado. This is the most beautiful campground I've ever seen in my life. We're going on a men's retreat. There's just a few spots left, and we would love for you to go. Now, ladies, you play a part in this too. We need you to encourage your husband. Poke him, encourage him, maybe even sign him up, and then let him know the day before that he's going. But whatever it takes, let me tell you why. It's going to be so good for your husband. This retreat has J.D. Small from Lubbock. He used to be a Hobbs guy. He leads a bunch of men in Lubbock with a men's group there. He's great at this. He's wonderful, and he's going to be our camp speaker. And let me just tell you about camp speaking. I've been on men's retreat to where you were more tired when you got back than you were when you left, because it was just back to back to back to back to back speaking. We don't roll like that at Cowboy Junction. We believe in rest. At Cowboy Junction. And let me tell you, God put this on my heart years ago. And guys, I want you to lean into this. We're going to get away to Colorado. There's going to be a session in the morning. There's going to be a session in the evening. And in between, we love free time. And it's free time to just, can you imagine if you had a Friday and a Saturday, travel on a Thursday, come home on a Sunday, and you had a Friday and a Saturday where you could really honestly be encouraged with the Word of God. But then, if you wanted to go pray, you can go pray. If you want to sit down and just read your Bible, you can just, beautiful Colorado. If you wanted to take a nap, can I get an amen? Amen. A nap. No one's going to make you feel bad about it. If you want to go play frisbee golf, if you want to go fishing, if you want to hang out with the guys, we do barbecues, we cook out, we have this great shore lunch. It's just so wonderful. It's worth every penny, and we'd love for you to go. And ladies, we need you on this. You need to turn to him and go, you're going. And you're going to have a blast, and we'll get you there. And the way you register is you go to cowboyjunctionchurch.com, go to events, and then go look at the men's retreat and sign up there. There's just a few spots left. And listen, it'll be a great weekend for you to just get away and be a guy again, okay? So why don't we pray for today? Jesus, we love you. Open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. Speak to us. We love you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This series, I'm going to start off with a question, okay? And this question, what is a godly marriage? Okay, and we're going to get back to that in a minute, but what is a godly marriage? Because we didn't come here today to learn how to just make a marriage work. And we didn't come here today to just be undivorced. Does that make sense? Like, okay, we didn't come here to learn that stuff. In this house, our number one thing is we're going to learn how to follow Jesus, to do life with Jesus. And so back to my question, what does a godly marriage look like? And let's just look at something real quick. What does an ungodly marriage look like? What is a little marriage that anybody could have look like? Anyone can have an anti-divorce marriage. Anybody can have a divorce to where you're just two ships drifting in the night, but you have some deep convictions when it comes to marriage. It's like, my parents didn't get a divorce, their parents didn't get a divorce, and they were miserable. So we can be miserable just like them. And you could really have a marriage that, without even saying it, saying we don't even like each other, but we're just an anti-divorce marriage. And what's the fun in that? There's no fun in that. Anyone could do, I just want to be happy marriage, which means I've been alone, I've been single, I just want to be married. I just want to be happy. And you can live the rest of your life with I don't expect anything out of him, I don't expect anything out of her. My expectations on him are super low, and that's why I'm happy. And my expectations on her is super low, and that's why we get along so good. And the reality is I think we can do better than that. I think we can do better than that. Okay, here's the next one. Okay, and this one saddens me, but I've seen it so many times. We're doing it for the kids' marriage. Anybody can have a we're doing it for the kids' marriage. And I don't think that's a healthy reason for marriage. So here's my point in this. The point is I don't know if you realize that, but anybody can get married. Anybody. It's easier than you think. It's way easier than you think. But what does a godly marriage look like? Okay? And so we're asking this question. So what is a godly marriage? Number one, we're going to be encouraging you throughout the next several weeks. We're looking at doing, what does the kingdom of God look like in your life? Now, this is a phrase, this is a terminology that is as deep as it is wide. It's not just how God does things. It's how it applies to the established authority of Christ Jesus and the world we live in. And when we start operating in his kingdom authority, in his wisdom, his knowledge, can you imagine the kingdom marriage that can happen in your life? Can you imagine when love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, self-control begin to operate because you're operating in the kingdom anointing of two people becoming one under God's authority in their life, complete submission to him and the way it translates into your marriage. Second thing is a godly marriage has a his needs, her needs. How can I serve you? How can I bless you? Can you imagine a marriage to where it's like, you're not helping me and you're not helping me and I need this out of you. Can you imagine a marriage that's completely opposite? Because God's kingdom is an upside down kingdom and it makes no sense in the natural, normal way of doing things. But can you imagine a husband turning to a wife and going, babe, I'm here for you. What do you need? How can I bless you? You come before me. And she goes, oh no, you're not going to do that to me. What can I do for you? How can I bless you today? He goes, no, how can I bless you? And all of a sudden it's a I'm for you relationship instead of it's about me relationship. And when you start seeing couples try to outbless the other, it's rare, but it's a joy to watch. And it is amazing. They still go through obstacles, still go through trouble. But can you imagine when it finally gets in their heart that my number one goal in life is to serve the Father, but to serve the Father, I'm going to serve you with all of my heart because you are the most important person on this planet to me. Can you imagine? Can you imagine a godly marriage? And this is a fun word. Are you ready? That leaves a legacy. A legacy. A legacy. There it is. This amazing moment to where all of a sudden you realize all of this kingdom investment, all of this seed that you've been sowing in this relationship returns a harvest in your life that lasts longer than you do. You will die one day. I just want to let you know, you will die one day. But can you imagine a family that's a legacy family that serves God because of the seed you sowed in faith in him that just keeps growing. Grandkids that are even closer to Jesus than you were. Great grandkids that are around the world preaching the gospel, sharing with their friends, blessing the kingdom of God. It's a legacy. And that's what every marriage should be praying for. I mean, let me just, here in a minute, at the end of today's message, I'm gonna leave you with a challenge. And I want you, if you got your phone, if you want to take a picture of this real quick, if you want to just get this on your screensaver for the next 5 weeks, these would be amazing things to pray for. But to pray, can you imagine a couple praying, Father, I pray that what you do in this marriage lasts longer than us even being on this earth. That our impact in the kingdom of God and our family lasts longer. And so now I go back to my question. What is a godly marriage. And this is our foundational message for the series. This is, I think, where we need to really start. We need to talk about this. We need to get a grip on this. And even if you're in this room and you're not a believer, even if in this room and you're here because someone invited you, whatever, I don't care how you got here. I'm just glad you're here. But what I want to pitch to you is not your plan for your marriage. I want to pick out God's plan for your marriage, okay? And here's the number one definition. There's two that I believe defines a godly marriage. And the first one is this. It's a marriage that puts God first. Yeah. That's pretty simple. Yeah. It's just simply a marriage that puts God first. And let me just tell you, it's easy to say and it's harder to do. Yeah. Only if pride is a factor. Only if pride is a factor will this be difficult. But when we finally surrender, when we finally admit that I need a Savior, and I have lived life my way, and it is not turning out the way that I thought it would turn out, and the promises that I see in Christ Jesus are life and abundant life, but it comes from the cross, and it's time for my flesh to die. And I need to crucify the old me. He needs to die. She needs to die. She comes with all kinds of opinions. She comes with all kinds of ideas. She comes with all kinds of old teachings. She's heard from all kinds of people, but it's time for her to die so that the new creation in Christ Jesus can live. That's when we surrender ourselves to Christ, we step into a life that puts God first. And when a life, an individual puts God first, you have an opportunity for two to become one, to where two put God first in their life. And the second thing is, this is very much like it, a godly marriage is a marriage that puts God first. And the second thing is a marriage that is led by Christ's example. Yeah. And I want you to lean into this, okay? Because a lot of people don't think of marriage because you've never known a couple in your life who ever put the other person first. I think it would be very rare if you're in the room and you would say, I knew that couple. My grandparents just kept putting each other first, putting it first. You're blessed if you have people in your life that you can say, I can truly say, I know a couple that humble themselves before God and they just can't quit honoring each other. And if you've never heard of it before, here's our example. And the reason that we use Christ as an example is because we are called the bride of Christ. I mean, I know that may sound weird for some of the guys in the room. You don't know how to feel about it. Once you lean into it, you look, he's our example. And we are his bride. And he's coming back for his bride someday. And it's our duty as a bride to be ready for when the bridegroom comes. And one of the things we have an example with Christ is that Christ, could you not get any higher than being God? And the example that we have with Christ is he left his authority. He left his throne in heaven to come become born on this earth. He lessened himself so that we could experience more. He went to the cross when he didn't have to. He humbled himself to the form of being a servant so that we could know life. And if Christ did that for his bride, gentlemen, this is the part we lean in on. Our duty is not to become muy bracho. Our duty is not to become arrogant. Our duty is not to slam our fist, pound until we get our way, put our foot on the ground, be angry, be upset, put holes in the wall, slam the door. This is not the example of Christ. It is actually the turnaround, the complete opposite, to be able to humble ourselves and kneel before our Father and to be the first to serve in our family. Now, I know what you're thinking. For the guys in the room, like, if I started serving my wife right now, she'd just walk all over me. Okay, we're going to talk about it in a minute. Ladies, buckle your seatbelts, okay? This is the part of the message Heather wrote, okay? That's my joke. You know, she writes all my sermons. This is the part. A godly marriage is led by the example of Christ Jesus, who lowered himself so that we could have life. Okay, so we're gonna lean into this, but before we do, let me just show you some things, okay? I wanna be very clear here. These are things that we've looked at and talked about. Our staff sat down and shared some stuff. Men in this room, there's certain things that they really desire. Women in this room, you have things you desire also. And we come into a marriage expecting some stuff. And here's three of a, this is a short list of expectations that men and women bring into a marriage and expect them, these things to get answered. Here's the expectations of marriage, okay? Men, I'll jump right out. Number one on the priority list is sex, okay? Okay, can't argue with that one, by the way. That's a real one. Let me just say, for all the ladies in the room going, you bunch of stinking men. Okay, well, time out. Hang on. You got to give us some credit because I don't see this as just being sex. I mean, let me talk to you about Ty Bean before he got married. Let me just tell you, you girls got some issues going on. Like, number one, you smell really good. Okay? And number two, you feel pretty good too. I'm in all seriousness. Guys, any moment you want to grunt, jump in and help me here, okay? You're warm. You're soft. You're beautiful. I love how you fix your hair. Notice I'm not talking to you anymore. I'm looking over here. I love your smile. I remember trying to figure out where you were so I could figure out how to get there. I love finding your interests, and I love being with you. And I know you look up here and you go, guys, you're just all about sex. Okay, we're going to get to that in a minute, but let me tell you, there are some things that we find very attractive and we can't get away from that y'all are just born with. Guys, can you give me a grunt? There you go. Okay? And so, ladies, I want to show you, this is a God-given natural. We're just drawn to you. Okay? Ladies, you bring into the picture, you just want to be loved. You just absolutely want to be that person that someone can literally come into your life and pull you in and say, sweetheart, you will never be alone for the rest of your life. I will always be here for you. You will be my number one queen, and I will never look at any place else because you are my everything. And God, I believe God gave you as a gift. God put you as a gift in my life, and I value you, I appreciate you, and I love you. Ladies, anybody want to grunt? There you go. Good, good. Okay, men, let's just be honest. It's not just all attraction, we really would like to not be lonely for the rest of our life. We really would like to have somebody that we can come home to, that we can go do something, that we can appreciate and love and see the beauty, that you see the beauty in us and we see in you. Yeah, that physical attraction is a big deal, but we don't want to be alone. And doesn't that make sense that that's exactly what God said about Adam? He said, it's not good that Adam's alone. It's not good that man should be alone. And down deep in every side, in every man, we love our singleness. We really do. And it's got to die in a marriage. But down deep, we long to be loved, okay? But women, the second thing is you love provision and safety. You'd love to build a nest and raise a family and be successful and know that this is a safe place. This is a safe place. And but the third one, both of them bring into the table, it's time to start a family. It's time to bring youngins into the room. It's time to see what our kids turn out to look like. And it's beautiful, it's wonderful. These are all the things that we paint this beautiful picture, and it's just a short list. I didn't go down the big list, but I thought this was a good kickoff. Isn't this beautiful? It's great, and it makes perfect sense, absolutely does. When you begin to look at it, but let me tell you, this next part may make you uneasy, okay? Because in all the marriage counseling that we've done over the years, and there's a point today, I'm gonna get to 4 points, I'm gonna close, but I'm building this tension so that we can kind of see why this series is so important, okay? And for anybody that gets offended, you can contact me at heather@cowboyjunctionchurch.com, okay? But what you're about to see up here, we hear the complaints. Do we hear the complaints? Yeah, Mondo, do we hear the complaints? Okay. I'm about to show you the biggest complaints that wives has about their husbands and husbands have about their wives, okay? And you're not allowed to take pictures now at this point, okay? But let's dive in. Here we go. Let's check it out. The most complained about thing in marriage when it comes to a woman towards a husband, all he wants is sex and he doesn't want intimacy. Did we see that one coming? No. Nobody grunt. Okay? Okay. All he wants is sex. And all of a sudden we've moved from, I just love your smell. I love the warmth of your hand. I like it when you sit next to me in the truck. I want to find out where you're at. I want to be with you. All those things get bypassed. Now it's just all about sex. And this is the number one complaint. Number two complaint that a woman has towards a man is he is just a mixture of insecurity and pride in the same body. It is amazing how he is able to be absolutely insecure. He is the man who just second guesses everything and thinks, you know, things, weird things are going to happen to us. And he is the most insecure person, but at the same time, he will pound his fist, he will stomp his foot, he will punch holes in the wall, he will slam the door, and he's not even sure he's made the right decision. Okay? Women complain. I can't tell you, if, when it comes to this family, he doesn't want to be married. He's still living in single life. He dreams of being single, but when he was single, he dreamt of being married. And now he's dreaming of being single again, and he just, the craziest thing is, he only wants to do what he wants to do, and there is this immaturity in him. It's like raising a child now. And listen, I didn't write this list. You guys, y'all wrote this list, okay? And the third one, I just want to be clear on this because I used a powerful word here, okay? But one of the things that we hear quite often, he's just simple-minded and just plain dumb, okay? And let me explain this, okay? And guys, maybe you didn't know this, but if he only knew what I see in him, and this is the woman talking, if he only knew how smart he was, if he only knew that he had three better decisions than the one that he made. He had three other options than that one, and he chose that one. And it's just the dumbest thing, and he keeps choosing things that are destroying his life. And we've heard this over, but ladies, this is the biggest complaint that men have towards you. She's just got a victim mentality. There is just unforgiveness in her heart. There's things that happened to her years ago that I'm now suffering from. And there's this victim mentality that she has this amazing ability to manipulate things so that she can have control of the situation. And ladies, I get it. Listen, someone has to take control. If he's gonna be the one that's selfish and immature and simple-minded, just plain dumb, I don't want me and the kids to suffer for it, so someone's gonna have to take the wheel. Don't you dare grunt right there. And men go, I get what she's saying, but you can't ever drive the ship, because she will cry and use it against me. She will get mad and tell her mom about it. Next thing you know, she's turned the kids on me. She won't talk to me. She withholds sex from me. All that she can have control. And here's the funny thing. Are y'all ready for this? In the room when we were putting all this together, the girls, this had got nothing to do with the guys, right, Mondo? Nothing to do with us. The girls jumped in and said, here's the funny thing about the girls that we've talked to. They want control, but they'll tell you in private, and I like it. And I, listen, between you and me, I can do a better job than he can. And it's so funny because you're telling us this, and you will be manipulative, but you know you are. And so the other things, man, you manipulate. But then here's the funny one. I just want to lean into this. You put on men unfair expectations, but you're unwilling to communicate to them even what you want them to do. It's just like, he just won't be this. Well, if you talk to him about it, oh no, I could never talk to him about it. So we're gonna spend the next 40 years hoping he figures out something. Listen, when he turns to you and says, hey babe, will you hand me the remote control? Hey babe, will you hand me the remote control? And you're sitting there going, what did you mean by that? Are you saying you don't like what we watch? You don't like the channel we're on? Is it the TV? Is it my mother's doilies that is over the TV? You don't like my mother's doilies. You don't like my mother, do you? You don't like my mother. You don't like my mother. And guys, let's do something real quick. When you said, hey babe, will you hand me the remote control? What did you mean? Hand me the remote control. But you'll sit there and you'll process, wonder what he meant. Okay, this is fun. I hope y'all are way better than the 8:30 service. Man, we may just have one service next week because the 8:30 was just super quiet. And they came up to me later and went, man, that was so good. Like, show it on your face. Good gosh. Yeah, so this has a point. Let me just tell you. Guys, I want you to look up there that list. You might look at that list and say, they definitely have a marriage problem. But they don't. this isn't a marriage problem. This is actually a spiritual problem. And that's why this conversation is so important. Every marriage battles this. Heck, I can even tell you, Heather and I have battled this. But the thing that has rescued our marriage is not trying to be fixers, but being surrenderers. To being people who could absolutely submit. And that's so important in today. If you want a Jesus marriage, you have to learn how to submit to Jesus. And then all of a sudden, things begin to come up. Look at this list, okay? Guys, honestly, we don't deal with the things that we should deal with. And this whole sex thing, as a guy in Lee County, New Mexico, there's no telling where your influence is coming from in so many different areas, from what you've watched, what you've seen, what people have showed you, what people have emailed you, what has been happening at the office, what someone who's very lonely has been calling you. There is no telling what you're going through. But can I just turn to you and tell you one of the most important things that you need? And ladies, I want you to hear me. A man needs to have the space to come to his, a man needs to have the space to come to his wife and to be absolutely honest with her. And when a man has the security to walk in and be absolutely honest with his spouse has the ability to pour life into him and tell him that she's proud of him and she loves him. And what do I need to do to help? And what's going through your mind? And what do we need to do? You just can't believe how wonderful it is when a woman, instead of turning to her husband and using this against him, finds a way to dig deeper and realize that this very moment your husband needs you more than ever before is not the time for emotion. This is not the time for fear. This is a time for a deep Jesus-following commitment to one another that we're going to get through this and we're going to learn from it and our marriage is going to grow because of it. Gentlemen, I think sometimes we need to realize that we're not honest like we should be. And honesty is a very important thing. And ladies, let me just tell you, I know you're scared to talk to him, but you've got to talk to him. And this insecurity that he has inside of him, one of the greatest things you can do is pray and speak the word of God over him. One of the things your gentleman needs to have before he walks out the door is you need to turn him around and say, hey, before you walk out, come here. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to tell you something. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. And every time he drops his chin, you pick his chin back up and you look him right in the eyes and you grab his shirt. Guys like this, okay? Grab his shirt, pull him in close. Pull him in close and says, for he knows the plans he has for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. And then kiss him. Oh, that was weird. But yeah, that's what you do, okay? Now he's going to turn into a little boy and he's going to do this. But let me just tell you, that's the sign he married a good woman. And guys, let me just turn it, your wife needs to know without a shadow of a doubt that between you and me, nothing is ever going to get between you and us. You are my most favorite person on this planet. I know we hear about flowers and we hear about phone calls, but anything that you can do in your day to turn to her and to give her the confidence she needs to know that her man is her man, is that thing that stirs up inside of her, and she'll build a beautiful home. She'll build an absolute beautiful home, and she'll follow you to the ends of the earth. But you have to be that guy that she knows. You are her number one. She is your number one person. This has a point. I want to show you guys. We're going to close with four things I want you to think about. And I'm going to go send you home with a challenge. We're talking about the foundation of marriage, okay? For all the single people in the room, I want you to lean into this. It all began somewhere. And if we're going to lean into where it began, we got to go back to the very beginning. At the very beginning, Genesis chapter 2, there is this whole big moment to where God made Adam, and then he made animals, and then he made animals, and then Adam. And he looked down and he saw that Adam was alone. Okay, and Adam had to name the animals. He named the animals, and while in the process of naming, God couldn't find a mate at all in all of these animals. Good thing. Praise the Lord. Okay? And God turned and said, I'm going to have to make her. And he turned to Adam and he said, Adam, I need you to lay down, okay? I need you to go to sleep. And he put Adam to sleep, and he pulled out a rib from Adam, cut him open, pulled out a rib, healed him up, took this rib, and then built Eve. That's where you have man and you have woman, okay? And you have now this Eve, and Adam woke up, and scripturally he says, "Whoa, man," when he took one look at her. That was a corny joke, okay? And then the words that were spoken next were the first words spoke over marriage, okay? And this is the foundation. And I thought we could lean into them because it's not just one sentence. There's so much depth in there. There's four things I want to lean into, but this is how the scripture goes, okay? Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, okay? 21 through 25. "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." There is so much wisdom and depth in this scripture. The reality is there's four things in here that I want you to lean into. The first one is this. Every marriage needs a leave moment. Not leaving each other, but there was a great beginning. Now, even before there was a father and mother, God set into motion that every marriage should know that at the beginning, every man shall leave his father and his mother. It's not just for guys. But for a marriage to be successful, you must first start with leaving your father and mother. We should always have respect for our father and mother. You should always respect his mom and dad, her mom and dad. But there is something beautiful when two people can turn to each other and say, "You are the number one now in my life. One day I stayed underneath my mom and dad's house. But today is the day that this is our family." The reason why this is such a big deal is because it sets up priority. For your marriage to be successful in God's ways, there has to be a separation from anything else. Your marriage is the most important thing in your life, okay? You may say, "What about my salvation?" Your salvation and your marriage go hand in hand. It is the relationship between you and your wife and the relationship between you and God. It's the three triangle of you serving each other as individuals and you serving each other as a couple. It sets the standard of priority. And can I tell you, your priorities in life will always be the challenges against your marriage. There will always be a priority to your work, but your work does not come before your marriage. There will always be a priority in the community you live in, but your community does not come before your marriage. There is a leave in your life that even God sets in standards that as important as your father and mother are in your life, they are now the second most important people in your life. And when your kids come along, they bump down even more. And let's not miss kids here. When you have kids, I promise you this, they are the most selfish, self-centered people you will ever meet in your entire life. And they do not want your husband to be the number one spot. They want to be the number one spot in your lives, ladies. And men, they will do everything they can to steal your attention from your wife. You're going to have to keep up with our demands. Dad, you're going to have to meet our needs. Nobody else are wearing these shoes in school. Nobody else is driving this car. And they will do everything they can to change the priorities. And let me just turn to you and say, you will never give your kids a greater gift than giving them a strong marriage. And your kids need to always be the second most important thing in your life, never the first. I don't care how cute they are. They are not as important as your marriage or even your family or his family. It's called a priority, and your marriage must come first. It's not just leave, you've got to cleave. Cleave, because in that same scripture I read a minute ago, it says, and be joined to his wife. Not only is he going to leave his mother and father, but it's time to be joined to his wife. There is a misconception about marriage, and the misconception is this, is that we're just naturally going to be attracted to each other for the rest of our life. And that's the dumbest thing, period. Okay? And here's why. Because life changes and seasons change. To cleave to your wife, to cleave to your husband, means you have to be in constant pursuit of each other. Soulmates are not made. Soulmates are not found. Soulmates are made. You don't find your soulmate, you make your soulmate. You have to chase after them. You have to be curious about them. Their heart has to be the most important thing in your life. It's like a precious pearl. Heather's more like an onion. She's got layers. And you just got to keep pulling back the layers, okay? And as I've pulled back the layers, it's been a crescendo of wow, whoa, holy moly. Thank you, Jesus. In our family, we have high goals, but it's because we have high work ethic. In our families, we sit down and we talk about where are we going? What are we doing? Where is God taking us? There's time we disagree, but we never quit chasing each other's heart. Yeah. One thing, I turned to Heather this last week and I said, baby, don't take me on any dates. And she said, well, let's do it. And we went and had rockin' tacos this week. Grease dripping down our chin. Man, ain't nothing like a kiss from Heather with grease dripping down her chin. We talked about each other. We asked about some big things happening in our life right now. And we talked about it. We went back and forth. We encouraged each other. You need a moment that you can cleave to your spouse without job, without work, without kids. And you get a moment where you can just honestly reintroduce yourself to each other. So we leave, we cleave, okay? But then we also weave. Scripture tells us, and we read it a minute ago, and they shall become one flesh. It's this incredible journey to where we realize that this becoming one takes work. It takes trust, safety, love, and communication. You're gonna have to work at this. You can't wish it, you can't hope it, you're gonna have to work at it. You have to pray, you're gonna have to seek God, you're gonna have to die to your emotions, die to your will, die to your flesh, and you're gonna have to step up and do the hard work, because I can promise you this, the enemy of you becoming one is dominance and independence. If you continue to just be the one that sets the rules, or you can continue to be the one that manipulates everything to have control, there will never be a weave in your marriage. There will never be two becoming one. You will be two forces fighting against each other forever. Dominance will be the enemy of weaving, and so will independence. If you want to be a teenager for the rest of your life, it will affect your marriage in a negative way. If you want to be the kid growing up, if you want to be the single guy, the single girl for the rest of your life, you will never have a successful marriage. It's because it will always work against becoming one flesh. Let me read you a scripture, okay? We're going to be done here in a minute. But this is one of the most controversial scriptures when it comes to marriage. Paul wrote it in 2 Peter chapter 2. Even Peter writes, he says, chapter 3, he says, listen, the things Paul writes is hard to swallow. But we've wrestled it and we realized he's right. And this is one of the things that he writes. And how you read it will determine where you're at, selfishly or servant. Okay? He says this. Now concerning the things of which you wrote to me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Okay, so Paul jumps right out and he goes, I've just signed up to be single for the rest of my life. It works for me. I love it. I'm able to do more. I'm able to be me. Okay? It's where me and Paul draw the line. Ain't no way. Okay? But he goes on. He says this. Nevertheless, because of sexual immorality, let each man have his own wife, and let each woman have her own husband. All right, now we're getting somewhere. But listen to the next verse. Let the husband render to his wife the affection due her, and likewise also the wife to her husband. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Now, here's the question. If you read this as, well, ain't no way. This is not how it's going to be. I'd be terrified to give my husband the authority over my body. Man, can you imagine what trouble we'd be in then? If you're a guy going, hallelujah, first time I paid attention for the whole message. But if you leaned in and said, this is a struggle we had too in our marriage. And can I tell you, when we finally humbled ourselves and we realized the trust level to get to this place was one of the most beautiful things that took place in our marriage. When it became, how can I bless you? How can I bless you? How can I honor you? How can I honor you? Babe, this is, I want to do this for you. Babe, I want to do this for you. And it was two people, so unified. There's a beauty in this that the selfish person doesn't see, but the godly person does. Yeah. The last and final one, so we've got leave, cleave, and weave, but I couldn't figure out a Eve for the next one, so we just call it purify. See, your marriage needs a purity. I'm done with this. Your marriage needs a purity. Your marriage needs an absolute moment to where you can be vulnerable, to where you can drop your pride and drop your guard, to where you can have honest and open communication, and you can know the goodness of the Lord. And remember the scripture I read a minute ago in Genesis? It says this, and when it comes to Adam and Eve, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. Gentlemen, we struggle with honesty. Just leave that up there for a minute. But you've got to be honest with your wife. And ladies, when he comes to you and he shows you things he's never showed you before because he struggles with it, it's okay to take a 5-minute break, go outside and breathe, but you've got to rescue this moment in the form that you can't overreact. And he needs a chance to be open and honest to you. And ladies, it's vice versa. You need to be open and honest as well, in the form that you're scared. You're scared. And it's why you nag, and it's why you say things, and it's why you don't talk, because you're scared. And then you need to pray. And you need to figure out how God's gonna heal this marriage. And if you notice about Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the fig leaves came out. They lost their strength, and they lost their diversity in each other because they were now covering up the very thing that set them apart, okay? But when they left, they leave, and they set new priorities. They cleaved and they pursued. They pursued each other. They weaved and they gave permission and possession over each other. And this purity kicked in. This is where God wanted them to be. For the next several weeks, we'll be talking about this. And I don't know how you're going to digest this and think about it, but I want you to lean into this amazing journey God has for your marriage. And now I want to send you home with a challenge, okay? Because what I'm about to give you is seriously one of the most challenging things for marriages, okay? It's intimidating for guys and it's awkward for ladies, okay? This week, for 7 days, all I want you to do is pray together. Now for guys, this is one of the scariest things in the world for you, to turn to your wife and say, let's pray together, and because really, and this doesn't count, and you can't do this. You can't go, okay, let's pray together, and you pray, okay? I want you to lead the way. I want you to catch him or her before they walk out the door in the morning. Maybe you make a schedule at noon. We're going to make a phone call. When you get home at night, before the last thing we're going to do before we go to bed, we're going to tuck the kids in, and then we're going to pray together. You may do it once a day. You may find out how to do it 3 times a day. I don't care if it's 50 seconds or 5 minutes. I want you to break down the walls that have built up between the two of you, and I want you to pray together. Gentlemen, here's my suggestion on what to do. And if you're like, I don't know what to pray, here we go. And maybe you need to write this down. Here's how I want you to pray. I want you to start off and I want you to say, Jesus, okay? And then just simply go, I want you to pray for the things you've been through. I want you to pray for the things you're going through. And then I want you to pray for your future hopes and dreams. I just simply want you to stop it. And I want you to just kind of, maybe not call everything out, but just the things that you've dealt with. I want you to bring up the things you've been through. I want you to pray for the things you're going through. And I want you to pray for the things that you truly believe would be an absolutely God thing if this could happen in your marriage. A moment to pray over your kids. There's a moment to pray over your faith. This is a moment to pray over your life. And then turn it over to her. And ladies, you're going to turn around and pray. And you too are going to pray for the things you've been through, the things you're going through. And you're going to pray for the things that are your future hopes and dreams. Now, here's the deal. If you can just crack one prayer, I mean, if you can just get one under your belt, it'll make the second one easier. And if you can get the second one easier, you can get the third one. And one by one, if you can, I truly believe if you can put a priority in praying with your spouse for the next 7 days, it is going to bring a purity of a leave, cleave, weave, and purify your marriage in a way that you guys haven't experienced in a very long time. But you're going to have to submit yourself to God and be obedient in this little simple thing. I hope you enjoy today. I hope you trust us in the next several weeks as we talk more and more about this. Before we go, I want to pray over you. Jesus, I just pray for this crew. I pray for those that are watching our online campus. And I pray they would set a priority by leaving the things that need to be left. I pray that you would teach them how to chase after each other, cleaving to one another, and weaving a marriage that's unbreakable as trust is built. And then a set of purity in their heart that is truly a new creation in Christ Jesus, a marriage that feels like a honeymoon. And Father, I pray for the next several weeks, all that you do and all that you want to do would be done. We love you. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.